agreement for 608 Ridge Street. Who's presenting this?
Okay. What about the Carver precinct? Is that later?
Carver's first.
I skipped, sorry.
Sherry, we thought we'd put it at the end of the meeting.
If you're listening or not. Sorry. Polling place change, relocate Carver Center to Carver Recreation Center. Sherry Achetta, please come forward.
You get to make a presentation
first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. As you know, in 2012, the Carver Recreation Center and Jefferson School were under renovation, and that's one of our polling places. So we had to temporarily move our polling place for actually one election in 2011 and all of 2012. And now that it's done, and I'm very excited about it, we're asking to move our polling place from the Virginia Institute of Autism, which we were temporarily in 2012. It was wonderful, and they were absolutely wonderful. But we'd like to go back to Carver Recreation Center. We've talked with Parks and Recreation, obviously have their complete support in that, and it's up to council, obviously, to do an ordinance change, and if anybody has anything to say about it, but that's all we would like to do. We are going to have to do a Justice Department submission and send it to the Justice Department, but I don't expect we will have any problems from them endorsing it.
Are there any questions from Mr. Achetta before we have a public hearing? Have a seat, please.
Don't go far. There may be questions.
Is there anybody who would like to speak on this topic in the audience? If not, I'll close the public hearing.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the ordinance.
Is there a second?
I would be delighted to second it. I've been so impressed with the work that you all have done to inform people and make sure people had a way to get to the other location and, you know, put maps up. And I was really concerned that we would have low voter turnout because of this, and it wasn't true. People found it. I appreciate the work of all the residents of that precinct to find where they had to vote, because it's been confusing the last couple of years. You're home now. So thank
it's
you.
Pretty long second.
Time is elastic in these meetings.
Is there any discussion on this topic?
That's the first reading.
Okay. We have the first reading. Let's move to the next item. Authorizing lease agreement for 608 Ridge Street. Kathy McHugh.
Good evening. For the past couple of years, the city has been leasing the property at 608 Ridge Street to the upper two floors to LEAP, our local Energy Alliance program, and the basement apartment to Heather Higgins. We had a UVA visiting professor from China there originally, but Heather had moved in and has been with us about a year now. LEAP has used the space to provide a library and resource center for energy efficiency information, as well as a place to operate while showcasing the house. As an energy efficiency example of how to do a retrofit in a historic home. Given the slow return of the housing market and the continuation of the use of this facility as a showcase our model for the city, staff is recommending that we hold the asset and continue to rent both properties. The basement tenant has indicated that her continued occupancy is tentative due to some family and job situations, circumstances, and would like to go on a month-to-month. But in lieu of this, we're proposing to allow Ms. Higgins to assign her lease to LEAP, which is willing to assume the lease if she so desires. However, their rent would increase up to $1,000 from their existing $600, but all other conditions would remain the same. We do recommend approval of both leases, which would end June 30th of 2014.
Are there any questions or clarification?
I have one. If the tenant downstairs moves out and mm-hmm. LEAP starts renting that space, would it be for housing or for offices?
Office.
It would be for office. Okay. We have required them to, or asked them to keep that front room open, which they have done. to hold community meetings and that sort of thing. Of course, that is a large space. I'm not sure how many square feet. But while they've been there and been really showing the house on our behalf and using it as this resource center, you know, they have grown in staff, and they're very cramped in what space they do have. I mean, when I go over there routinely, they're working in the kitchen
yes.
and that sort of thing. But the space, the basement space, would be used for office.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Then I'll open the public hearing. Anybody who would like to speak on this topic? If not, public hearing is closed. Is the council motion?
I move. We approve.
Is there a second?
Mr. Mayor, just for clarification, the motion, there are two resolutions in your package. Is the motion... they're identical except for the identity of the lessee. You can either move them together or move them separately.
I presume it's for together. Okay. The second
hold
to that?
Back up. I'll second.
You want to look at it?
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else prepared to do that? That would be fine.
There's one,
I remember that from looking at
there's one resolution that approves the lease agreement between the city and LEAP, and another resolution that authorizes the lease between the city and Ms. Higgins.
Right. I can move to approve both.
You can.
So moved.
And there's a second.
So second.
Any discussion? If not, all those fair, all those vote, please. Thank you. I'm going to change the agenda slightly, if you don't object to it. I'll put Region 10 Community Service Board update now as the first time after this public hearing. Is there somebody here who would like to speak from Region 10?
Thank you very much.
I moved you up, that means you'll be brief.
I shall be brief, as brief as I can be. Thank you very much, Mayor Hooja. I wanted to say this is our third year presenting before the council, and I want to thank you for your ongoing support, give you a quick update on our accomplishments, and highlight important legislative issues for the year. So I want to say on behalf of Region 10, with our thanks, a couple of things that we've accomplished in the past year include healthy transitions. The city and the county voted to fund that program, and it's now in its second year, doing very well, helping incarcerated individuals when they're discharged to integrate back into the community. I want to make you aware of two other grants that we were able to work with the Coalition for Mental Health and Wellness to get, and those are the Integrated Care and Coalition Grant. We're really starting to combine physical or medical services along with behavioral health services, reach populations that we haven't been able to reach before. And so those grants are in their infancy. They started this past summer, and they're doing very well. I also wanted to say thank you to the council for the for Nunley House. The mayor was there at the opening last spring. I hope you remember that, as well as the city manager, Mr. Maurice Jones, and some other folks were here
there
as well. You were there, Kristen. Jim Tolbert was there, and Dan Rosenwick was there, and you were there. So the Nunley House has 8 beds. They are filled. It's helped us to have the lowest census we've had at Western State Hospital in some time. And so it's a real resource for us. I can't overstress how important it is to have housing, and it's a big discharge barrier for individuals in state and state hospitals and the local hospitals. So the Nunley House has already paid off. I want to go fast but not miss a couple of points. The return on investment, we like to say, as I go around to all the counties in the city, each dollar of appropriations that we get returns $27 to the city. We continue to blend and braid our funds. And in fiscal year 2012, we served 1,960 Charlottesville residents. Our challenge continues to be that 33 out of our 63 programs cannot independently cover their costs, and so that requires that we use not just Medicaid dollars, which is 60% of our budget, but also the appropriated local dollars, as well as the state general fund dollars to cover our programs. So we come before the council tonight, and I have to also say that Mary Frances Porter is our board member who was supposed to present. She's sick tonight, so I'm covering her role as well as my normal role. I'm trying to combine and condense those and be brief. Quite a challenge. Our top priorities, legislative priorities, we're only asking for advocacy and support from the city this year. We would, of course, ask for level funding, but no additional dollars we're asking for this year. Part C, which helps prevent learning and adjustment disabilities for infants and toddlers. Please continue to support us for that. We're very heartened that the governor appropriated $3 million in this year's budget. It's a caboose bill, so it's just going to be added on. And for FY14, an additional $3 million. That is great, but the for the state. And the reality is that the Part C program actually needs $8.8 million to be compliant with federal regulations. So we're going to put in a the VACSB will be putting in a bill to supplement what the governor has added, has put in his budget request. Region 10 served 439 babies through that program in FY12. We had to lay off staff for this year. We've only served 220, and we have a waiting list, so we're not in compliance. And I would like to say that that's a common problem across the Commonwealth because of lack of funding. So we ask for your support on Part C. We additionally are heartened that the governor appropriated $750,000 in his budget request for the Discharge Assistance Program. That's the program that is connected with what we are doing with the Nunley House to get folks out of the Western State Hospital and other hospitals where housing can be a barrier, and it allows us to also provide wraparound services to keep them in the community. So we ask your support on Discharge Assistance Programs. Lastly, Medicaid expansion. We truly see Medicaid expansion as a game changer. And for the stats in Region 10, you know, the five counties and the city of Charlottesville, the stats show that there are 30,000 uninsured adults who currently in Region 10. 10,000 of them would actually be eligible to be covered by Medicaid if it was expanded to 138% of the federal poverty level. Of that 10,000, 4,000 would have estimated to have behavioral health disorders and would be eligible for services. One out of four individuals coming into Region 10 right now are uninsured. Mostly, all of them would be eligible for Medicaid expansion if it goes forward. We are very hopeful that the state of Virginia decides to expand Medicaid, and we'd like your support on that as well. It would be a big game changer. It would provide funding that is not currently in any of our budgets. It takes some of the stress off the localities as well. So we can see that as a win-win. And I did a snapshot on October 1st to see how many uninsured people came into our board that particular day. 347 people came in with no insurance. And our survey showed that practically all of them would be eligible for Medicaid expansion if it goes forward. Okay, I'm rushing, but I want to thank you again for your support and advocacy for Region 10. I have one consumer tonight, Mr. Eddie Banks, who would like a minute just to talk a little bit about, and I think he's
right here.
He's right here. So, Eddie, if you would be brief, it's been a long, long evening. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Mr. Banks.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, everybody. I'm blessed to be here today, Ms. Norris, Ms. Smith, and Mr.
Jones.
You don't got a name tag.
Oh.
All right. Keep a long story short, I'm here, Eddie Banks here. Those that are familiar with me, this time I'm here for Region 10. I'm not here for GGI. I'm here for Region 10. And I'm going to keep it short and simple. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
And the true story is, when I first came to town, almost 7 years ago, and got stuck here, and became homeless, and wound up living in my automobiles, along with this demon that I carried with me, Region 10 saved my life. For the Step Up program, gave me an opportunity to have my own TV program on public access TV now, and to be elected chair of the CAC. I want to thank Mr. Oh. Now, the CAC Consumer Advisors Committee plays a major role in Region 10 and recovery and mental illness and such and such. We had a ceremony this morning, and it was a tearjerker because I've come so far. 50 years of abuse of most, you name it, and I've been there and just about did that. However, I've been blessed. January 17th, I'll be 70 years old. Yes, and move right along. The work that I've been accomplishing while taking my GED at the clubhouse has really given me a second chance. And I understand the gentleman this morning, earlier, he was talking about being homeless. I remember the days we were homeless together. But to have a chance, such as Region 10, to reach out for someone that has an idea that they can be, how you say, reborn or a chance. And this is what I got with Region 10. And I'm here today to support Region 10 wholeheartedly. And anniversary day. Happy anniversary to myself.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Hugin. And that's it.
Unless you have thank you very much. Are there any questions from
Matt? I would actually, I'm just going to say that, you know, I appreciate both of you and what you brought here tonight. One of the things you mentioned about Medicaid expansion is not a sure thing. It is a case where the state can decide whether to let the federal government pay for 100% of expansion of Medicare or Medicaid services in Virginia. After a few years, it goes down to, I think, 95%. It's an incredible opportunity for us to bring our federal tax dollars home instead of supporting, you know, I'm sure deserving people in Wisconsin or someplace else who might need medical care. We could actually help Virginians. So I would urge anyone watching this, anyone in this room, to call your legislator and urge them to expand Medicaid in Virginia.
Thank you. Next item on agenda is a report concerning reallocation of Charlottesville housing funds